to Inner Bloom, a podcast about how to live a happier, healthier, more harmonious life as you learn how to work with the universe, reconnect with your intuition, and bloom from within. I'm Alexa, a writer, producer, and EFT practitioner with a passion for all things metaphysical. And with me is my friend and co-host, Ambi.
I'm Ambi, a physical therapy assistant, mom of three, and intuitive medium who has been communicating with the spirit world since the age of five. Some might call it woo-woo, but from our perspective, anything is possible, and we intend to normalize the abnormal by sharing our own life experiences as well as intuitive insights, channeled material, wisdom from special guests, and any other resources we believe will help our souls expand and thrive.
Hello, all you bloomers. Welcome back to another episode of Inner Bloom. I am Alexa, and with me is my awesome, amazeballs, epic co-host, Ambi.
Hey, everybody.
What's up, Ambi? How are you?
I'm super duper. How are you?
I'm super duper as well. Super excited because this episode is our first ever interview episode where we interview someone else who has some awesome stories to share and is doing things in this field as well. And we actually got this person, came to us through Instagram, which if you're not following us on Instagram, it's Inner Bloom Podcast. So follow us there. We're posting some uplifting, inspiring shit. Today we have with us Para Larry. So Larry is no stranger to psychic and spiritual phenomena, having had his first vision at 15 years old when he foresaw the tragic death of his oldest brother. Since that time, he has honed his gift that he shares on this website and all around the world. He's a motivational speaker, teacher, and poet. He's been profiled by famouspsychicmediums.com and has submitted work to Light of Consciousness magazine. He holds a degree in sociology, Spanish, and information technology. Hi, Larry. What's up? Welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me. I sound like an overachiever and all that.
Yeah. No, you sound
That's awesome.
Yeah, you sound well-versed in many areas of life.
Awesome. I'm glad you guys had me on the show tonight. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, well, no, we're excited. You're our first guest, so this is a new frontier for us, but we're ready for it. So, I know Ambi and I are both really interested. What is, you know, why don't you fill us in on your story and how you got to this point?
Okay, well, again, my name is Para Larry, and I run paralarry.com. And this all came about for me back in 1998. I was a little 15-year-old guy. And I was at my aunt's house and with my family, and we were just in the kitchen acting goofy as normal. And all of a sudden, it was like kind of like I was taken out of the seat I was sitting in, and I was transported into what I call my spiritual IMAX. So when I say that, I mean that it's like a huge white screen that goes as far as the eye can see, right? And what I see there is I see the events of my brother's passing go on the screen. And of course, I'm shaken to my core at that point. And then I come back to myself after I see the events play out kind of like a movie, and no one even notices that I left. Okay. So then I get home that night, 15 years old, I tell my mom what I'd seen. And my mom, has had her own experiences with, paranormal phenomena. But she told me, boy, don't say that. Do not say that. And so, I was like, okay. It is making what I saw less real. But the year went on and nothing happened. So I'm like, okay, maybe this was just some flukes. I don't know what this is. But I knew instinctively in my gut that if what I saw was true, I would recognize it. Mm-hmm. And so a year passes, everything's good. And then October hits, the first full week of October 1999 hits. And I just remembered that I remember how the vision started. My parents would have people over and they'd be playing cards and playing music, and I'd walk out of my room and I'd see all that. So that's exactly what happens. I walk out of my room and people are gathering and they're starting to play cards and the music's starting up and all that. And I said, okay, you kind of get that little twinge in your stomach. I got that. I said, okay, I think this is it. I think this is it. I have to change this. I have to change this. So I said, okay, I know what I'll do. I'll get in my car and I'll go down to my aunt's house, who lived right up the road from us. And by me changing where I am from what I've seen, maybe that'll change exactly what I did see. So I got in the car, went to my aunt's house, and you know, I was breathing a sigh of relief. Ooh, I have changed everything that I saw. I get out of the car and go up to my aunt's door and put my hand on the doorknob, and then the rest of the vision comes back to me that as I'm turning the doorknob, I'd be at the landing of the stairs looking down at my aunt, and she'd be on the phone. She dropped the phone and she'd run up the stairs and say, we got to go. As soon as I open the door, that's exactly what happens. She runs past me and says, well, we got to go. I just sit on the top of the stairs and I'm like, oh God, this, I know exactly what's happening. I know exactly what's happening. And from there, that's how the vision started with me. From there, I was just curious. I was a guy who was born and raised in the Full Gospel Baptist Church. And that's all about, you know, speaking in tongues and dancing in the spirit and kind of practicalizing God. So to make this go away, I was just like, you know, I'm going to be there when the church doors open, and I'm going to be there to make sure they're closed because I'm going to try to pray this away, right?
I did the same thing.
Yeah, it doesn't work. No. It does not work. And my uncle was my pastor. And so I went to him for answers. This is still 1999. The internet is in its infancy. And I'm asking him for answers. And he's just telling me, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about young men having visions and old men dreaming dreams. But, you know, to be careful with what I'm doing. That, for me, was not a suitable answer. I could not get over the fact that I saw this an entire year before and then it played out. Mm-hmm. So I did what anybody I hope would do is I went to the library and I picked out any book you can think of on paranormal, psychic, ghost, haunting, metaphysical, anything that I could get my hands on in the library. I got it and I read and I studied and I did the exercises. And it was from there, my gift just developed, and I began doing readings for, you know, friends that up in New York that I had never met. You know, I had them on Instant Messenger, and, you know, we traded cell phone numbers, and I kind of did readings for them, and they're like, you're amazingly accurate. You're amazingly accurate. So from there, you know, fast forward a few years, and I met my best friend, and I was doing readings for her. She says, you know, Larry, when you do a reading or when you're getting information, you get this look on your face. And it's like, I know something's coming. And she's like, have you ever thought of, you know, just getting online and offering readings for a couple bucks just to see if people would be interested? I was like, well, I had not, but I'll try it. So I opened a Reddit page and the response was overwhelming. And from there, I opened the website and here we are today.
Wow.
And how long ago was that?
When I opened the Reddit page or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you started going professional.
About 2.5-3 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, I was in what I call the psychic closet.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because, you know, I had already come out of the closet personally, but I was still in that psychic closet. So I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to be in any closets. I'm not going to be trapped behind anything.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, it definitely is very similar, right? I mean, I feel like we're coming out of the closet right now, and it's like, geez, like even today it was this feeling of like, I feel like I keep walking out of the closet and taking a step back in and walking out and taking a step back in. But yeah, that's amazing. I don't even know. Ambi, the whole time you were talking, Larry, I kept thinking of Ambi, and I was like, what is she thinking right now? Because I feel like, I don't know, were there any similarities in the story, Ambi?
You know, when there were a lot of similarities in the story of like trying to pray it away. I remember being a little girl in my bed and just literally saying a prayer, like, please don't let me feel anyone in my room. Please don't let me hear anyone in my room. Please just make this away. And yeah, I mean, I literally was so terrified. I was a little different for me, Larry. I was terrified of this until probably 4 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have been able to feel, see, and communicate with spirits since I was 5 years old, and I was completely terrified of it. I've had people tell me that like I'm the devil and blah blah blah.
So, oh, I'm going through that right now.
Yeah. So this is all still very new for me. So it's so reassuring to hear like other people's stories about it and other people's experiences with it as well.
Yeah, it definitely gets easier and it gets better once you come to grips with it. Yeah. And once you're able to make sense of it, you know, I did the same thing as you. I remember praying in the shower, actually, because the bathroom was kind of like what I call my sacred space. Because right. I know no one's coming in.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my sacred space. And I remember praying in the shower that, okay, God, I don't want to feel anything. I don't want to see anything. I don't want to hear anything. And I can just now looking back on it, spirits like, okay, sure.
And so, Larry, are you saying that this didn't turn on for you until, you know, 15 years old? Or was it always something that was a part of you?
You know what? I always tell everyone, you know, we're all born psychic, but through conditioning, yeah. You know, we lose it. So, and I always say it starts with, you know, you're in preschool, right? And you're coloring the sky orange and purple and all these awesome colors. And then your teacher hands you a crayon and says, no, the sky is blue. So that part of you, it starts being conditioned and starts being beat down. No, the grass can be orange because the grass is green, right. You know? So it's conditioned away so quickly from us. So I venture to say that it's always been a part of me, but I didn't see any manifestation of it until I was 15 years old.
Interesting.
I really like that analogy you used, Larry. That was really
cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have so many questions.
Oh, go for it, Amby.
Okay. Okay. So another question that I have is, did this change for you as you started using it more, as you started giving more readings? Did different things develop? Because what I'm noticing is that the way that I see things are starting to become different. And then also like different, I don't want to say the word abilities, but like different things are happening. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. In answer to your question, yes. It definitely does morph and it changes and it grows. It's like any other muscle. You start working it out and it's sore for a few, and then you work it out more, and then you look in the mirror and it's bigger and it's, you know, more defined than you ever thought it would be. Mm-hmm. So it's the same way with me. When I first started, I mean, it was everywhere. I would get random images. I'd get random little pieces, little snippets on that big IMAX screen. I'd get all kinds of little things. And I was like, what do you want me to do with this? And it was like kind of a puzzle putting it all together. But as I continued using it and as I continued doing readings for people, I noticed I was able to control the flow of it a little bit better. And I was able to kind of say, okay, this symbol means this to me. My favorite story to tell is I have a student that I mentor. And she called me one day. She's like, you know, she had a friend, a little boy who went to the hospital. And she was like, Larry, I keep seeing crows. He's going to die. And I was like, okay, first of all, let's calm down. I was like, she's like, you know, crows mean death. I'm like, no, crows mean death to somebody. What does that symbol mean for you, for spirit? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, it kind of represents transition from one way of life to another. I was like, then that's what that symbol means for you. Little boy's just fine. He was ended up being a type 1 diabetic, and that's a transition from one way of life to another. So I was like, you know, so that's the biggest thing, making sure that you line out what your symbols are for spirit, and you can tell spirit, you know, if I see this is what this means for me. Like, if I ask you, Amby, what does a white rose mean to you?
Peace.
For me, a white rose symbolizes freedom.
Okay.
And yep. So, I've had, you know, other people that I've read for said a white rose means death.
Yeah.
So it's all about establishing your own spiritual dictionary with who you're communicating with your guides and with spirit and things like that.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. You know what's funny, Amby? Since I've been like hanging out with you and talking to you, you always say when you see glasses, that means focus, right?
Right.
And lately, all these like I'll be doing something, walking around, and suddenly I'll see a glasses, like in the weirdest places, like glasses will pop up. And I know that means, and I've just adopted your meaning, but I know that that's like now telling me to focus. It's cool. It's very cool, Larry, how you can like set up, like you're talking about, you can set up your own language, right, with the universe, your own symbols with the universe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's something that we all take for granted because, you know, A Course in Miracles teaches us that we assign meaning to everything that we see. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we need to make sure that we're working with clear definitions, because if we're not working with clear definitions, then the universe and spirit doesn't know what to give us.
How can people be more clear with their definitions?
Easily. Okay. So here's the thing. So for example, I did a reading a couple weeks ago in which the woman that came to me, she said, you know, my husband was the eternal playboy and I want him, my intention for him was that he would love me deeper than anybody that he ever loved before. And here we are 7 years later, we're married, but I don't know if we're going to make it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I said to her, okay, so your intention was that he would love you deeper than anyone ever before, right? She said, yes. I said, okay, so what does that look like for you versus what does that look like for him? I said, because for him, if he's the eternal playboy, his example of, you know, moving in with you and spending 7 years with you, that is his example of loving you deeper than any he has loved anyone before, because he was a bachelor, he was a playboy. And she said, you know what? I never thought of it like that. So it's about getting clear about what things mean to you. We have all these awesome terms like trust and belief and respect, but we have to really whittle it down. What does that look like? And what does that mean for you in your life? Because my idea of respect is completely different than your idea of respect, Alexa or Ambi, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's about getting clear.
That just blew my mind a little bit. I mean, it's a very simple concept, but just the way you phrased it is very I love that, because it really speaks to the fact that we are all having our very – we are one, right? We are all having our complete individualistic, unique experience, and we give meaning to our life, as you're saying. And it's like – it's all relative. It's all relative. One person's experience is not the same as another, even if those two people are co-creating, right? We all have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's, I love that. That's great. Ambi, any more questions on your end?
Yes. So what do you said you see it on your IMAX screen. Like what does, can you walk me through that? What does that look like for you?
Yes, absolutely.
For me, it looks very different. So I'm curious to hear like your experience.
Okay. So I don't know how old we you guys are on the call, but I'm 35.
I'm 31.
Oh, awesome. Okay. So we're in the same kind of category.
We all
so.
Old.
Yeah, we old, right? So you guys remember back in elementary school, like when your teacher would have like the transparency that they would put up on the wall, they'd write on the transparency.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of people probably won't remember that if they're not, you know, if they're a little bit younger than us, but that's what it looks like for me. So it's like this big white, it's almost see-through, but it looks like that transparency. So when I see spirit coming forth or when I get messages coming forth, it's like that transparency is like superimposed on top of the world. And that's where I'm getting images. And that's where I get words and I get flashes of images or, you know, all kinds of things come across that screen. So it's just kind of like a superimposition on the world. And that's where I'm able to get my messages and where I get those little, what I call them movie snaps of things that are going to happen or things that have happened. And that's as kind of as simple as I can put it.
That's interesting. You're the second psychic medium that I've talked to that like that's how they see it. So that's really interesting for me that it's like the same similar experiences are happening, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I always say, you know, everyone's gifts are completely different. Mm-hmm. The girl that I'm mentoring, she is an empath and she is claircognizant.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say for her, I was like, I would never, ever want to be an empath. I don't want to feel, I have told spirit explicitly, you guys can show me, I can hear it, but I don't want to take on the emotions or feel anything that's happening to anybody else.
The scary road.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes. Cause I've mentored her and, you know, sometimes she has a hard time figuring out, okay, am I feeling my own stuff or am I picking up stuff from a lot of people around me? And a lot of times it's a lot of people around you because your energy field is completely open.
Yep. That was something that I struggled with for a little bit until it became very clear that it wasn't me. But even now, I gave a reading the other day to someone. They were like, I want to know if, you know, my sibling is going to be okay. And, you know, I'm still learning the ropes. So I got a little too deep in the feeling of the sibling. And it was very jarring because it was just feeling things that I knew weren't me, weren't my emotions, weren't, I could see images of what the person was doing. It was just very, very jarring.
Yeah. And Ambie, let me ask you, when you do a reading, and you can let me know if I overstep or anything, but when you do a reading, how do you approach the top of your reading? Because I always approach, I learned this from psychic medium Lisa Williams. I always start with, do you want to know everything? Because, you know, sometimes we get some stuff that comes through and I'm like, I don't even know if I should say this or if they need to know this. But if they've answered the question, do you want to know everything? Then I give it to them. How do you approach that?
So typically what I say is I ask spirit for anything that comes through to be for the person's highest good. I don't ask the person that I'm reading for if they're open to receiving everything. And that's a good... That is actually something that when I did different classes and stuff, I noticed that that's what they did. But I think that we were focusing on other things at the time. So that's actually a really good takeaway. I appreciate that point.
Oh, not a problem. Not a problem. It's we're all in this boat together, right?
So I guess my other question, I'm so sorry, Alexa, jump in if you have more questions.
No.
My other question is, I've known psychics that are not willing to share information that's looked at as negative or like not happy information, right? What are your views on that?
Again, you know, we assign meaning to all of it. So right. I don't think that there is anything idle or anything neutral that we, you know, I'm sorry, it's all neutral, you know, when we get it. It's about how the person is going to assign the definitions or the meaning to what I give them. So I always ask spirit like you, I always want to come from a place for the person's highest good. But if the highest good for that person is that, you know, you need to go to the doctor and get checked out, then that's the highest good for that person. I'm not the one to judge that. I'm the conduit for the information.
Yeah, that's my view on it as well, is it's not my message. So I'm going to relay the information that I'm seeing to the person, and then they take that information however they see fit, because my interpretation might be a little bit different than their interpretation, and that, you know, do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, and just to give you another example, I have been that weird psychic medium that nobody has ever been able to read for, save for my mentor. She actually came to me one day, and that's another story that we may get into later. But I remember going to a little psychic shop here in my city in Southern Indiana. Mm-hmm. And I was going to get a tarot reading. I was completely open, and I always am. But I went in there, and I ended up reading for her, which it happens all the time. but to her, like, I was getting images of water and ocean and everything, and it made absolutely zero amount of sense to me.
Right.
And I said, okay, I'm just going to tell you what I'm seeing. And I gave her that, and she broke down into tears. I mean, like, uncontrollable tears. And I'm like, okay? And she was like, you know, my mom came to this country, you know, across water like that. And, you know, the way you describe the water and you describe the voyage of the sea, it was just, it's my mom coming through. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting here thinking, wow, if I had held on to that,
yeah,
the healing that she got from that would have never happened.
Yeah. And that is definitely something that I've learned too, by, you know, you feel like, well, at least for me, I have felt in the past, well, that is, I don't know, my own thought, or it's something I saw earlier. Like, you know what I mean? You try to, like, in the beginning, justify, like, no, that's not real, or whatever the case may be.
And absolutely. Then
you say it later and they're like, oh my gosh, no, I completely understand what you're saying. And I'm like, oh, shared that information beforehand, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of like the one thing that I think all psychics go through. Like, why didn't I say that when they came to me?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Sorry, Alexa. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no. I'm like loving you guys going back and forth on this. It's so interesting. Larry, do you meet a lot of other psychics?
Well, since I've been running Paralary, I have. But before this, I like I said, I'm in Southern Indiana. I am in the middle of the Bible Belt. Yeah, it's a little challenging here. No, I really don't, aside from my mentor, who came to me, and shout out to Amber. But I really wish I did. 'Cause you know, sometimes like I talk to my partner about this and he's just like, what? And I'm like, I'm like, never mind. I did a tarot reading for him once, and he halfway through the reading got up and he was like, no, we're done. 'Cause I'm freaking out. So
with you on that one. we all understand that one. Well, I'm happy that you reached out. It's like, I feel, I don't know. It's just fun to have it. It's fun to hear you guys talk back and forth. And, you know, I know, speaking of tarot, I know you said, that you have your own tarot deck, right?
I do. A couple months ago, I was just kind of led by spirit to, put together some Oracle cards. I was just looking online and I was like, you know what? I've always really identified with, Egyptian mysticism and Egyptian, symbology.
Me too. And,
oh, okay. Yes. it's a past life thing for me, because I've always said, like, I'm obsessed with watching, like, you know, Egyptology documentaries, and it always has upset me and pissed me off really bad when people go in and they, you know, they're walking around the pyramids and they desecrate the tombs. I'm like, don't do that. And so I knew there was a deeper connection there somewhere. Yeah. So I put together a set of Oracle cards. It's a 33 card deck, and I wrote a guidebook for it as well, so you know how to use the cards. But it's all Egyptian symbiology, you know, things with pyramids. I have things in there for your chakras. What I did with these cards is I used some of the traditional Egyptian meanings for some of the images, but a lot of it, I looked at the image for myself and I said, okay, what does this put me in the mind of, or in what is the message I would want someone to take away from this? This card. So each card that I have in the deck, in the 33 card deck, it has a general message, it has a spiritual message, and it has a relationship message. And you can, you know, and a lot of people, after they've gotten the cards, are like, okay, so I've read those messages, now I'm going to assign my own meanings to these cards as well. And you can get those cards. You just go to parallary.com/products, and they're there for you. They're my go-to cards, and I know it's like, oh, you made the cards. You should be saying that. No, seriously.
These sound awesome. I'm like, I'm excited about them. They sound really cool.
They're amazing cards. They're amazing cards. And if you go to parallary.com, you can see a couple of the cards as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I think our listeners are super into cards, so super into decks. So definitely go check that out if you're interested. Larry, was there anything else that you wanted to promote while you're here?
Just come and see me over at parallary.com. I have so much stuff going on. I'm doing our psychic and tarot readings. I do past life regressions and readings. Those are awesome. If you guys are interested, I would come back and do a on-air past life regression with you guys.
Please.
I would love to do that. You guys just say the word and I will be back.
Can I tell you a weird thing that happened to me, Larry?
What's that?
So, Alexa, I'm going to share a really quick story real fast.
Oh, yeah. Go for it.
So, I'm sitting, my Alexa in my house just went off. So I'm sitting.
I'm surprised mine hasn't yet.
So I'm laying in bed, and this was probably maybe a year ago. I don't know. And I'm laying in bed and my husband and I were fighting, and I was laying there and I was like being mad, right? Like, you know, when you're like in a fight, but you don't want to go to sleep, but you're like pretending to be asleep.
Yep.
So I'm laying there and I'm pretending to be asleep and I'm just pissed. Right. And I remember specifically thinking, if I get married again, it's going to be for money. And in that moment, in like that split second, I was somewhere else. I'm walking around a tomb in Egypt. I'm dressed in this like gorgeous outfit. I see this huge gold door and there's this person in front of me. And he said, follow me, follow me. He's this way. and I walk towards this person like I'm searching for someone, and there were three men pulling this huge gold door open. And then my husband was like, "So you're just gonna go to sleep?" And I was back, and I was like, "What the hell just happened here?"
There is a lot more there. Absolutely.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes, yes, yes. We should definitely, yeah, you guys have got to have me back for that.
Yeah.
I will definitely do a, because I do past life and Akashic Records reading. I do mediumship.
Oh, yeah.
I do all that stuff.
You're booked already. We're pre-booking you. Wait, I have a question about that though. So when you do past life regressions, because you know there are a lot of people who do past life regression, like QHHT, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is your past life regression like something that you just do intuitively, or how does it work with you? I'm just curious.
I actually do it based on how it's intuitively, but how I'm connected to that person. So the images that I use and the way that I lead you through it are completely different from person to person. And then what I like to do, and when I'm done with the past life regression, because it's draining on both ends, right?
Yeah.
I always like to leave everyone with a recipe, and people are like, "You leave people with a recipe?" Yeah, that's also part of my gift, where after I do a reading like that, I want to leave you with some soul food, some actual soul food where you can go replenish your body. And what I do is I listen to you. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to your experience. And then I'm sitting here and I'm writing a recipe, and I have the amazing gift to be able to taste things in my mind before I even put them on a plate.
What?
Wow.
Yes, yes.
Explain that more. I love this.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, okay, yes, yesterday, I was with the girl that I mentor, and she's going through a couple of personal things, and I was like, okay, well, here's what you're going to cook, just to get back to yourself. And I was like, okay, tell me the meats and the starches that you like. And she told me, and I came up with an awesome recipe for her that I've never made, but I know it's amazing. But I gave her a grapefruit basted salmon with a tamari, which is just with a aged Japanese soy sauce. So it's going to have a glaze of that on top. And then I just led her to do some jasmine-scented Parmesan rice.
Why?
And yeah, and she was like, "How did you know those are the things that I love?" I'm like, "I'm telling you, that it's just part of my gift."
Oh my, that just blew my mind. You're like you're a psychic chef over here.
Yeah.
This is a whole nother frontier. I'm telling you, Larry. This is amazing.
That's pretty cool.
That is
what I'll do so you guys can see it in action before we leave here today. I'm gonna leave you guys with recipes.
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh, me too. We both love food, and so oh my gosh, this is great. Larry, I feel like we're all going to be very good friends for a long time.
Absolutely. You guys are with me. You guys are stuck with me now. So.
Oh, okay. You can't get rid of me. Awesome. Okay. Well, everybody listening, obviously there's much more to come with Larry in the future. Exciting things coming. But since we're in this episode now, why don't we – so what should we do, guys? We can play here. What should we do? Should we try to do this joint reading because it came out of the blue into my mind and see what that's all about? And if it doesn't work, we'll just edit it out. No big deal. Or what should we do? Because otherwise we can just have you do a reading of Ambie because she doesn't get read a lot. I never get read, Larry. Yeah, she never gets read.
Oh, you poor thing. You're me. Yeah. I don't get read either. Like, oh, I'm telling you, my mentor, she was the first person that has ever read me, and she left me with my mouth hanging on the ground and dragging the floor.
Okay, wait. Maybe you guys should read each other, and that's the double reading. I was like,
whoa.
Okay. I'm getting out cards because we're gonna do this.
Right. Okay.
Barry, is it weird that I walk around when I give readings?
No, it's not. That's your way of channeling the energy and doing something with the energy.
Yeah, I've been told that. I just like it. I think it's fun. It's a good time. I'm doing jumping jacks.
She always does jumping jacks. It's
fun. Well, I'll familiarize you while you're doing your jumping jacks with what I do. So I call myself, and I got this term from spirit, but they're like, "You're a spiritual pharmacist." And I'm like, "What does that mean?" I got this during a meditation one night. And it's because during my readings, I give you your general reading, and then I also look at what which of your chakras need to be aligned or kind of being touched and kind of touched and balanced. And then I also leave you with a written spiritual prescription.
What? Wow. Ooh. And what is that? What does that look like? The written spiritual prescription.
So what I do is I have a deck of cards, and they're made by Judith Orloff.
Yeah.
And they're called the Power of Surrender. And I shuffle those cards, and that is pretty much the overall theme of what you should be working on. And it's just the power of surrender, what you need to surrender to in your life at this moment.
Oh, I like that.
They're so amazing. I love these cards so much.
Awesome. I love this. Okay. Who's going first?
Guess first. Go ahead, Larry.
Guests first. Put me on the spot, right?
Yeah. We have.
Okay. I can go first. You can pick. It's fine.
I'll go. I got the cards right here.
Yeah.
So what I do when I do a reading, a lot of people say, Larry, do you need the tarot cards to read? Absolutely not. What I do when I do read, the tarot cards help me, I always say, create the skeleton of the reading, but my clairvoyance is what puts the meat and, you know, the tissue and everything up on those bones. But I definitely don't need the cards, but it makes things just go a little bit quicker. So I always have these here.
Just to remind anybody that doesn't know.
So clairvoyance is just, you know, clear seeing. So that's kind of like when I was talking about my spiritual IMAX and how I see all my images and words and everything on my screen. That's what clairvoyance is.
Perfect.
Cool beans.
All right. So I'm going to begin shuffling my tarot deck here. And I want you just to tell me when to stop whenever you feel it intuitively.
Stop.
Okay. Stop already. Hey. Okay. So what I do is I put these cards into three separate decks. There's a deck on the far right. There's one in the middle. And there's one on the far left. What I'll do first is I'll flip all three cards. And then I'll tell you what I see there. Mm-hmm. And then from there, if you have any follow-up questions, we'll address those, and you'll kind of tell me which deck you want a card to come from, okay?
Okay.
Okay, so. Oh, bless you. Okay, so you have drawn the Ten of Swords, reversed. You've drawn the Three of Pentacles, and you have drawn the Wheel of Fortune, reversed. So what does that look like for you right now? So you're coming out of a dark area. And you're coming out of an area where you are feeling a little uncomfortable, a little disconnected, a little just unsure or uncomfortable. And it's because you feel like you had a lot of stuff on your shoulders or kind of at your back, and you didn't know, you kind of feel like that back against the wall feeling, like, I don't know which way to go. And this just doesn't make me comfortable because I'm not in control. So I'm seeing that you have the control freak syndrome like I do.
Yep.
So you have that, but now you have moved into a place with this Three of Pentacles where things are just opening up and blossoming for you, right? You're getting more comfortable with yourself. You're getting more comfortable with your surroundings, and you're actually seeing a good return on the energy that you put out on the if you've had any financial issues, things are seeming to fall in line there, and you're like, how in the heck is this happening?
Yeah.
And so everything's weird. Everything's coming together for you right there, and you're actually able to look at things that are happening to you, and you're not so like pent up where you're like, okay, I need to keep this to myself. I can't share this with anyone. You're like, okay, here you go. I can enjoy what I have, and I can share what I have now.
Yes, that's right.
And then going forward, you that reverse Wheel of Fortune, I just want you to be aware that, you know, things are coming for you that could seemingly look like they can, you know, knock you off your feet or whatnot. And it kind of goes back to what I said earlier. It's about how you assign intention and definition to those things. Yeah. So things that are coming, I don't want you to say, oh, my God, that's negative. No, it's not negative. It's what you assign to it. So these are going to be growth opportunities for you. So I don't know if you're launching a website or you're doing something. It feels like it's something business related, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be more challenging than you originally thought. And I think at this point, you probably even have outlined it, or you have an idea what I'm talking about. And it seems like you have bitten off more than you can chew. Bite-sized baby steps is the goal for you.
Bite-sized baby steps. That's really not in my DNA, but I'm going to do my best.
You are preaching to the choir. You're preaching to the choir. If you saw my to-do list for Parallel right now, you'd be like, you're insane.
Yeah. Like every day I text Alex and I'm like, we should do this. And she's like, take a deep breath. So
yeah, that's the same thing Amber, my spiritual mentor, tells me. She's like, Larry, one thing at a time, because I was telling her about, you know, being an interview with you guys tonight, and she was like, I was like, okay, Amber, but I want to do this, this, this. She was like, Larry, one thing at a time. So I understand.
Slow it down. Take a deep breath. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. I agree with that. I also think that it very well could be like my 9-to-5 job. I just have this intuitive hit that I'm going to be let go, which is not a bad thing at all. I just feel like it's a transition to, we're both just kind of growing in different ways.
Oh my gosh. You are preaching to the choir, because I have a 9-to-5 as well. Mm-hmm. And it's such a blessing, because my 9-to-5, I'm able to work 100% from home 100% of the time.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's such a blessing. And it's just kind of like, I see the vision and everything. And it's so difficult, because you see the vision that you have for yourself and for your company and for what you want to accomplish. And it's just like, okay, it needs to be right now. It needs to be right now. But what you learn is that it is right now.
Yeah,
it really is right now. So, because we don't have yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. All we have is right now.
Yep. That's a good call. All right. Anything else?
Do you have any follow-up questions in that? I'll draw any
follow-up questions. Let me think. What do I keep getting? What's the hit about my crown chakra? What's going on there?
Okay. Well, let's take a look. So we're actually going, ooh, you just had some stuff jump out at you. Okay. So let's actually look at your chakra deck that we have here. You actually, you're drawing. So I think what's going on with the crown chakra there is that you have some other chakras that are out of balance. So the thing that you just drew from my chakra reading deck is holistic health.
Mm-hmm.
And that is for your root chakra. So it seems like we need to be looking at more of how it seems, because your crown chakra right now is completely overactive. Is what I'm seeing. You're seeing a lot, and you're not getting control of it, and you're getting the dreams, and you're getting the visions here, and things just keep popping up. And yeah, that's overactive, because you're not taking care of yourself, because you're always on the go and you're always doing something. And the thing is, you're always doing something for somebody else, and you're always last. And
you don't know my life. I'm just kidding.
You're always last, and I got to challenge you to where have you learned that you have to be last and everyone else gets to be before you in line? Where did you learn that?
My mother always put everybody ahead of her. So I feel like, you know, as society tells moms, like, you always have to be last. And my mom didn't even have friends growing up, because I was her whole world.
And here's the thing. I heard Iyanla Van Zandt, who does Iyanla Fix My Life on the Oprah's Network. She said that we have to be as good to ourselves as we want to be to God in our lives. So if you are putting yourself last, then that is actually where you're putting God. That's where you're putting spirit in your life.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to look at it. I haven't looked at it like that.
Yeah, so make sure you put yourself first. And it's really not bad to put yourself first. It's not selfish, because we carry that. It is so selfish for me to put myself first and get my needs met, my needs, everything, you know, put myself in front of the crowd and everything like that. But it's not. It's self-full. And that's a book I'm going to be writing about, self-fullness, putting yourself first in a balanced way. So you don't feel guilty doing, you know, things for you and putting yourself first and taking care of your own needs. There's a reason why on airplanes they tell you, make sure you put the oxygen mask on yourself first and not your child.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
You gotta be as good to yourself as you want to be to God.
Yeah. And I feel like for me, I go to the gym every day. So in my head, like, oh, this is my time, right? But it's no longer my time, because when I'm at the gym now, I'm returning emails, I'm returning text messages, I'm doing like different things, and it's not, and I'm doing this. This is nobody's choice but my choice. But I see what you're saying. So very good call. Yeah.
So the thing we have to work on, right, is what does it look like? Because it has to be always baby steps, because we don't get to the point where we begin putting ourselves last. Mm-hmm. In one big thing, just like, you know, when people say, oh, I've gained all this weight and you've been working out for 2 weeks and you're like, how come I'm not a supermodel yet?
Right.
You know, it doesn't happen overnight. You didn't gain all that weight overnight. You're not going to lose it all overnight. Right. So we got to identify for you, you know, what is the one thing that I can do per day that is just for me? It doesn't involve my husband. It doesn't involve my kids. It doesn't involve my work. It involves just something I enjoy doing. What is that one thing that you can identify?
I don't know. I honestly don't know what that looks like right now.
See, and that's what we have to get clear about. Do you journal at all?
I used to. Yeah, I used to. I don't anymore.
See, that may be something. You might, if you enjoy journaling, it may be saying, hey, let's get back to journaling and just, you know, kind of write out what we're feeling, where we're going.
Yeah, good call. I actually just, someone gifted me a journal and I was like, oh, I'm going to keep this in my purse so I can journal. And I haven't even written in it yet. So that's an excellent point.
Awesome. You're very welcome. Let me give you the rest of it. I'm also going to draw you something from the Parallary deck. And the Parallary deck, by the way, is called the Discernment of the Ages deck. Again, you can get it at parallary.com/products. But the card you just drew from the Parallary deck is love.
Okay.
So I want you to, in looking at everything that we've drawn so far, overall self-love, love for what you do, love for who you are, and love for where you are right now. You don't have to beat yourself up for where you are right now. You don't have to feel guilty for where you are right now. And you don't have to rush ahead to where you want to be right now. Just focusing right now on myself, on loving the person that I am and loving the journey along the way, right?
Yeah. And I think I'm doing a good job at that. I'm doing a much better job than I did 6 months ago.
Absolutely. Listen, every step is a great step. So the fact that you're able to own and say, you know what, I am doing a great job, that's amazing.
Yeah, trying, doing all I can do is all I can do.
Absolutely. Do your best and forget the rest.
Yeah.
And then your spiritual prescription here is you drew surrender denial.
Okay. Say and that one more time because I'm writing this down.
Yeah, it's your spiritual prescription is surrender denial. And you should see the card. It's a woman. She's in a field wearing a long flowing white dress and her eyes are covered with a bandana. And it says on the bottom here, accept people in situations exactly as they are without denying the difficulties. Then you can see things clearly and make the best decisions.
Okay, that's a good one. That one hit home pretty hard. That one's
And I will actually email, because when I do a reading, I like people to have a copy of the cards they've drawn. So I'm going to actually email you guys over a copy of those cards so you have them so you can refer back to them.
Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. That was good. It was a little like gut check moment on like, you know what I mean? Like how true it really hits. So it kind of like the last one kind of like took my breath away a lot of it. But it was good. Like I like it. I love that. I feel like really readings are like a different form of counseling. Do you see what I'm saying? And Alexa, we were talking about this off air a couple of days ago. It's like a different form of counseling, and I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I mean, I always say that I'm a psychic medium, but my calling, where I'm going to be and where I see myself going, is being a spiritual life coach. So using what I can do as a psychic medium, but life coaching people to where they need to be spiritually, because if the spirit's sick or if the spirit's neglected, then everything else falls apart too.
Yeah, I like that.
Great reading. That was great.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was amazing.
You are very welcome.
Ambie, your turn.
Oh, biscuits. Okay.
Oh gosh, I'm scared.
Wait, Larry, when's the last time you had a reading?
No. 2 days ago.
2 days ago. Oh, okay. So people can read you. It's just
people can read me. Yes. They find it challenging to read me, and I don't know why, because I'm like, I'm just Larry.
just Larry. Interesting. Ambie, are you up for the challenge?
All right, let me try. So the first thing I'm seeing is a ring. So it feels like a wedding ring or an engagement ring. Did you just somehow, is that recent? Is it in the works, in the talks?
Oh, bless your heart. I wasn't expecting that. No, we went ring shopping about a year ago, and we just haven't been back, but we've been talking about it.
Okay, that's great. I hope that happens soon. Congratulations forefront. So then I also smell bread cooking. So what does bread mean to you?
That's actually for one of you guys. Okay. one of you guys likes bread, and that's part of the recipe I'm coming up for one of you guys.
Oh.
Yeah, I have been thinking about crusty French bread and I don't know who that belongs to. I think that's Alexa's, but I'm not sure. But yeah, that's part of the recipe.
I mean, I do like bread, you guys.
That's amazing you picked that up.
Yeah, that is weird. It's funny. And then I hear the word, I can hear it sounds like, it's okay, just bear with me. It sounds like nipple.
It's not. Okay, so it's not nipple.
Okay, what is it?
What you're hearing is nippy.
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 What does that mean?
Nippy. Whitney Houston is my favorite singer, and that was her nickname. So I am
too funny.
And that was her nickname. And
were you dancing to one of her songs like a few hours ago or a few minutes ago?
I'm always, yes.
You're always. Okay. Because I see you like up dancing around. It's like your pump song. It's like you get yourself excited about this, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And she's been my favorite singer since I was literally 2 years old. Growing up in the 80s, I learned how to work a VCR because of her, because I wanted everything on video. And she
did you dress up like her for Halloween one year?
No, I did Prince one year though.
You did Prince one year? Why did I see you with like big hair?
Oh,
and someone took a picture of it.
Oh my gosh. You're really just like opening the closet up, okay. letting stuff out. I do have an awesome Whitney wig. I saw it in the store one day and I was like, oh, that is very Whitney. I have to have that.
Okay, good.
You guys, that needs to be edited out. No, I'm kidding. Okay.
We can edit that out. Yeah. I didn't ask you if you were open to anything. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. You're good.
Okay, so is your grandmother in spirit or is she living?
I have one grandmother is living and one in spirit.
Okay, so grandma, there's a nickname and I'm working on names. It sounds like it starts with an M and it sounds like mama. It sounds like something along those lines. Does that make sense to you?
Hold on. Yes, it does.
Okay, so I get the feeling that she's passed because she's waving hello to you. Do you understand that?
I do.
Okay. She's showing me a document you're signing. Do you understand that as well?
Yes,
and
I do.
She's saying she's very proud of you.
Blessed be, yes.
You're following your heart. You're following your soul's journey, your path.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that makes sense. It definitely does.
Any questions for her, for me?
Yeah. Okay, so how does she... When she was incarnated in this lifetime, she and I were not very close. I have a interesting relationship with that side of my family. I just don't get along with that side of the family. So she kind of is in the crosshairs because, you know, she's grandmother on that side of the family. Is she upset that I wasn't around? I mean, I literally only came around once a year, if that.
She's saying that she's been with you. I feel like she's been passed for a while. Is that correct?
Yeah. Like
this isn't something that's recently happened. So she's been with you this whole time for your whole journey, because she's showing me like different phases of your life that she's essentially holding hands with you. So what that means to me is that she's been with you, watching you. And I don't feel any ill will. There's no negative energy there. All she's doing is giving you hugs and telling you how much she loves you.
Oh, that's quite refreshing, because that wasn't what I was expecting.
She's showing me like wiping your tears away. Do you understand that?
I do.
Okay.
I do. I mean, I carried a great amount of guilt for not being around, especially as before she passed, because it was one of those things where we knew she was going. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, with her, she waited for me to get there, because right after the day, literally the day that I visited is the day that she took a turn and she was gone within the day.
Yeah. She's saying that you were her favorite grandchild.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
And then she's saying, she Oof. Was telling you as we were talking, as you were telling me this, she was saying, hang up the phone. So what I feel like that means is hang up the phone of guilt or any energy that you carry around not being there for her, not holding her hand, as it were, because that's what she's showing me. Hang up the phone. Don't pay attention to it anymore, because that's not how she feels.
Okay, so then the other question I have for her is there is a I really don't want the answer to this, but I do. There's a family reunion. There's a family reunion on that side of the family coming up, and there's no part of me that wants to go to be around that. It's just not a very loving side of the family. I could say other words, but I'll say loving instead. But it's not the best environment to be a part of. And yeah. I'm sitting here struggling. I'm like, do I go? Do I just make an appearance, or do I just not go? What does she think?
I get the feeling, and I don't know if this represents how she was in living, but I get the feeling like she doesn't want to make this decision for you.
That's her heart.
This isn't her path. And what she's telling me is that to her, it doesn't matter either way, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't show her how much you love her, how much you don't love her. That's irrelevant in the equation. But she did say that if you have regret, then go. If you're going to regret it, then go. But know that there's no guilt or shame or there. I don't know what's going on with a cousin. I don't know what the situation is with that, because she's bringing up some kind of cousin to me. But don't feel guilty about that, and don't have any remorse about that. Do you understand that? And there's something about you and your partner with this cousin.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Got it. Crystal clear.
All righty.
Awesome.
Oh man, I was so scared, Larry. I'm so glad that it worked and came through and it was clear.
I told you I'm just Larry. I promise. The energy's out there. We're all made of the same energy, so it's easy once you do it.
It is. It was just when you like relax into it, and you're just like, I'm gonna word vomit on you and tell you what I see, and if it matches, awesome, and if it doesn't, then that's okay too. It works.
Absolutely. I always tell people to put it in the refrigerator if it doesn't make sense now, and to take it out of the refrigerator once it let it thaw a little bit, and then it might make sense here in a few months.
I like that, because I tell people to write it down. So I like that better.
Do you also feel like, Larry, that there's something too, because I've been noticing this with Ambie's readings, it's like when she reads somebody that is very open and understanding of all of this stuff, that it goes much better and much deeper and much clearer.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I want to say to you. When you do readings for people who are open and who are accepting of, you know, what we do, I mean, it's like you can almost sit back and just, you know, let your hair down, and you can be like, you can be twiddling your hair and be like, yep, these are the messages. Yep, absolutely. You know what I mean? You're just relaxed and you're confident. It's those people that you get, and I've only had two, thank God, as I've been reading, where people are like, nope, that ain't it. And I'm like, yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But you're so closed off, and they come to me months later. Oh, yeah, can I have another reading? Oh, I thought I was so bad last time. So, yeah.
I had someone say to me, well, you're the psychic, you tell me. And I was like, oh. And I, like, shut it down. I was like, you know what, I'm going to refund you. I just feel like it's not working right now.
Yeah.
So, and then I had someone that was like, no, like, I'm open. It just doesn't make sense. And I was like, no problem. It's just not working right now. I'm going to refund you. And then we can come back in a month and see if it works then. But for some reason right now, it's just everything that I'm saying, it doesn't make sense. So no problem.
And see, Ambie, that is the most awesome thing. I think that's an amazing takeaway, because I always tell people that we are not God. We are not spirit. You know, spirit is vibrating at a very high vibration. We're vibrating at this lower human vibration. So we have to meet in the middle. So that's why, you know, we are mediums, because we literally meet in the middle. They lower our vibrations, their vibrations for us, and we raise ours for them. So we're not God. We're not spirit. We're not going to be 100% all of the time. So my favorite are, and I know you've gotten these, where people are like, okay, so if you're a psychic, what was my nickname that they called me when I was little? I'm like, yeah, that doesn't quite matter to them on the other side. When they're lowering their energy just to get a message through, they don't care where they hid the documents to your will. They don't care what your nickname was. They're trying to get a message to you.
You know what's funny that happened to me that I've been dreading since I've started doing this? And it happened to me the other day. She said, I wanted a specific person to come through. She was open. I want a specific person to come through. I have a specific message that I want her to tell me. And if this is really happening, this will happen. And I said, I'm not going to be able to read you if this happens, but this is the person I'm seeing and this is what they're telling me. And she went, holy shit, that's exactly what I told her, the person to come through. And I was like, yes!
So, score one for the team.
What?
Score one for the team.
I know. I was like, oh my gosh, because it's just one of those fears that, like, I used to watch Teresa Caputo on TV, and it's just one of those fears of, well, you're the psychic, you tell me, you know?
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. When people say, I have a specific person I want to come through and I want to hear this specific right. message, I'm like, okay, so when we transition to the other side, it's like we down here that are left behind that it can do this work, we become like the UN for spirit. And spirit's like, Oh, Ambi can hear us. Ambi understands us. Ooh. Talk to me. Whoever voices carries the loudest is what you're gonna hear.
Yes. Yeah.
You're not gonna hear grandma whispering in the back if aunt's up front saying, you know, yelling and being really boisterous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and what I say to people is, my opinion, this is all based on your belief system, right? So if you believe that, if a medium believes I can't control who's coming through, and a medium believes, well, I can ask, and if they want to come through, they will, and if they don't want to, then it won't happen, then that's what will happen because it's based on your belief system.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I feel like that's why psychics or mediums can talk to celebrities, because you can ask for the celebrity to come through, and the celebrity might be like, nah, I'm not going to come through today. Like, I got other people to talk to. But
yeah. And it's just like us down here.
Grandma does want to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like us down here. Like, how many of us look down at our cell phones when we get that number from Rachel from Cardholder Services that we don't know that number in our phone? And we're like, I don't want to talk to them. I don't know who that is. I'm not answering that. It's the same with spirit. They're like, I don't want to talk to them.
No, I don't want to talk to Ambi. I don't want to talk to Larry today. I'm going to go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go to the Long Island Medium and get on TV.
Screening your calls.
Yeah.
Not them again.
God, what does Larry want? What does Ambi need?
What this time? I don't have the money. Well, so Larry, I have a question for you.
Sure.
So what is one piece of advice you'd give to help someone step into their power? Because Ambi and I have two intentions with this show when we started it. One, our first intention was to help other people step into their power as the creators of their life experience, right? And the second is to normalize the abnormal. So what is one piece of advice you'd give to someone listening right now to help them step into their power?
Okay, so it is so funny that you said the word intention, because the one thing that I can tell people is it's not enough to want your life to change or want to step into, you know, to go deeper. Wanting and everything, it goes on a spectrum. So we go from, and I'll probably have to repeat this a couple of times, we go from wanting, and if you just plot this out in your head, you'll see how the domino effect goes. We go from wanting things to hoping for them, to praying for them, to believing them, then to making our intent for them. Then we begin expecting things. We anticipate them. After we anticipate, we know them, and then we manifest it, right? We go across that entire spectrum, right? So that's the one piece of advice. Don't just want. A lot of people see Teresa Caputo on TV, or they see, you know, Lisa Williams, or they see Ambi, and they, you know, I want to do what they can do.
Right.
That's not enough. The want is great to have. It's good as a starting place or a sounding board, but you have to put something, you have to put legs to that want. You have to show some desire. You have to show a little bit of initiative. Spirit's going to reward it no matter what you do. Spirit is going to reward your intention, but we got to get you to intention first. If you're at the want space and you haven't hit intention yet, you're nowhere near manifesting. And that's okay. It's just figuring out where you are on that continuum.
Well, what's the difference? Wanting and intention.
So wanting is I can going back to that lady from earlier that I was telling you about, she wanted her husband to love her deeply, more deeply than anyone before, right? She got exactly what she wanted, but what was her intention with him? Her intention, when I asked her, was I said, what was your intention when you saw him? That we would be together. that's your intention. You got exactly that. So you have to make sure that your intention matches what you're looking to manifest in your life, right? So if it's your intention to do something, you move past that whole want phase. The want is, oh, I want a cookie. The intention is, you know, I'm laying in bed and I want a cookie. I might not get up and go get it. I might want it. I might pine for it. I might cry about it. But if it's all the way downstairs, I'm probably not going to go get it, right? And it's 3 a.m. But if my intention is I'm getting a cookie, come hell or high water, guess what? I'm getting a cookie. And that's where we kind of have our breakdown with a lot of people. You know, a lot of people stop at intention, not knowing that there's more on the other side of intention. There, out on the other side of intention, there's expectation. And people always ask, you know, what do I do with expectation? Well, where are you guys located in the U.S. right now? Or are you guys in the U.S.?
I'm in Philadelphia.
I'm in Virginia.
Okay. Philadelphia and Virginia. Okay. So what do you guys expect when you go outside tomorrow? Like, what do you expect the weather to be?
It's going to be really hot and humid.
Why don't you expect it to be completely freezing and there to be snow on the ground?
Because it's summer. Because today it was really hot and humid, and so was the day before that and the day before that.
Exactly. So look at how your expectation works. You're not going outside expecting there to be snow on the ground, because that doesn't make sense of what the experience is, right? Right? Mm-hmm. So that is how that's the simplest way expectation works. I'm not in the middle of summer going outside expecting to see snow on the ground. If I do, there'd be something really wrong, right? Mm-hmm. I know, and that's how your expectation moves to your knowing. You don't even have to go outside tomorrow, and you just know, oh, it's going to be hot, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how your expectation moves into the knowing thing. And then that knowing moves into manifestation. So what you see, what comes to fruition is based on that expectation and that intention. Mm-hmm. I know, it's heavy stuff. It's heavy stuff.
No, yeah. It's what you're essentially saying is, you know, everyone can talk – we can all be like, oh, I want this, but is our intention actually there? And is all the rest of it really there that comes with that intention? Is our true, like you're saying, is our true desire really there? Because to just want something is like, yeah, I want that. But you're literally just sitting there saying, I want something, but there's no mm-hmm. other energy moving towards it in any way. Right.
Absolutely. It's a ripple effect. You know, that's why I say, you know, it moves through. It's that domino effect. It moves through all of those different phases. So you have to put some feet to some things. You know, if you want these things, you have to go get them.
Yeah. And that's why people think that law of attraction doesn't work, because they just want it and they don't do any actions to actually make it happen.
Yeah. And it's so awesome the way the law of attraction actually works. I remember hearing a story from Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, he wrote a check and put it in his wallet. And his intention was that by the time I am X years old, I'm going to be able to cash this check. And it was $1 million check that he put in his wallet. And he said he drove to the top of the Hollywood Hills and he looked out over Hollywood and he said, that's my destination. That's where I'm going to be. And he said, I didn't just go home and sit down and said, okay, well, I wrote that check and it's just going to happen because I wrote it. He said, no, I had to go out there and I had to, you know, let people know who I am. I had to go do things. And he said, by the time I hit that age of my expectation, I was able to cash that check and more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was for the mask.
Yeah.
It's basically like you set the intention and then you let the vision of that intention inspire you to the actions that lead you to the manifestation of that intention.
Oh, write that down. Absolutely.
I don't have to. It's recorded. So,
see how smart she is?
2 steps ahead of me.
No, I just saw it in my mind of like Jim Carrey standing out being like, that is my destiny. And then he was like, okay, well, the first thing I must do to, you know, achieve this destiny is I need a headshot. I need to go on an audition. Like, you know, when you have a vision, and that's why Ambi was doing a reading for me yesterday, it was a whole weird thing. I don't know. But anyway, I was asking for a vision. Because I was asking for a vision about the future, because I was like, if I have a vision about the future, if I have a vision about what I'm aiming for in the future, then I can, you know, I can hold that vision and I can then be inspired to action that is in alignment with that vision, that is in that will lead to that vision. So I think, you know, wanting is one thing, but is wanting is like, you know, it's like a passing thought, right? A vision is like a thought and an image, an idea, an inspiring idea that you hold consistently, mm-hmm. right? And when Absolutely. And you let the energy, you know, gain momentum, and that leads you to inspired action. So
absolutely. And you know what, and what I can tell you, Alexa, is, you know, when you, now that you have that vision, mm-hmm. that I'm reading a book right now by Lisa Nichols called Abundance Now. Mm. And what she says in that book is, it's not good enough even just to have the vision. She says, if you want to manifest it, give the universe a date, because the universe will work with your date.
Mm, so, I love that.
So date your vision by, you know, August 2019, that this is going to be what I've manifested, and watch it work.
All right. Let's put it to the test, everybody. Let's do this.
I love
everybody,
that.
Everybody message us your dates and your intentions, and let's put this to the test. Because no, I'm not challenging you, Larry. I'm just like, let's all start putting some dates down, because I'm ready to do that. Cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
Accountability too, I feel like.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I love this. This was great. I'm oh my gosh, I'm so happy that we had you on. This was so fun. Is there anything else, Larry, that you would like to share before we sign off? I mean,
before we get our recipes.
Yeah, before we get our recipes. Oh my gosh, yes.
That's what I want to do. I want to give you guys your recipes. So, who wants to start first about what foods they eat, what they don't eat, things like that? And then I'm going to come up with a recipe on the fly for you guys. Okay. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Okay.
Okay, what am I supposed to tell you? What I eat and what I don't eat?
Okay, so what's your favorite protein?
Chicken.
Okay, you love chicken. Okay, do you like savory? Do you like sweet meat? Because my mom's like, I don't like sweet meat. So do you like...
I don't even know what sweet meat is.
like sweet and sour sweet chicken sauce, or honey chicken, yeah. Or things like that.
Oh, no, I do like sweet. I do like sweet, yeah.
Okay. Okay. And what kind of vegetables do you eat? Do you eat asparagus, Brussels sprouts, anything like that?
Yeah, I love those. I love asparagus, Brussels sprouts. Yeah, you kind of hit it on the head with that. Asparagus and Brussels sprouts, onions. I don't know.
Okay. All righty. And then what are your favorite starches? Do you like rice? Do you like
Is sweet potato a starch?
Yes, sweet potato works.
I love sweet potato.
Okay. All right, give me a second here. I'm just putting this together. Okay. Got it. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. So we're going to do a pesto chicken.
Oh, ooh. I love pesto.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're going to do a pesto chicken, and then we're going to do asparagus with the lemon caper butter.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. And
then we're going to do a candied sweet potato.
Sounds amazing. Okay, yeah.
So let me show you how we're going to do this chicken. So we're going to take a chicken breast. I don't know how many people are feeding, but I'm just going to do it for one chicken breast.
Two.
We're going to do one. Okay. Okay, we're going to do two chicken breasts, boneless, skinless. We're going to do two boneless, skinless chicken breasts. We're going to season those up on both sides with salt and pepper. If we have a food processor or a blender, that'll work. But we're going to take a little bit of flat leaf parsley and a little bit of basil, a little bit of pine nuts, some Parmigiano Reggiano cheese. Mm. And we're going to throw that all down in the blender. Just a handful of parsley, handful of basil, handful of pine nuts, as much Parmigiano Reggiano cheese as you would like. If you're a cheese eater like I am, it's going to be very cheesy. put that down in your blender, stream in a little bit of olive oil until it kind of makes a loose paste. And what you're going to do is you're going to rub that all over your chicken. You're going to cover that chicken in foil, and you're going to bake it at 400 for about 35 minutes. While that's going on the stove, what we're going to do is we're going to get some fresh asparagus, or you can use frozen if you don't want to deal with the fresh stuff. But fresh is going to be better. When you have your asparagus out, what we want to do is we want to, at the bottom of those, because you know the bottom of asparagus have nice woody ends, and you can't eat those. So if you take just one from the pack, if you get the fresh ones, and you just let it bend it at the ends, it'll naturally snap. That's your guide for the rest of the asparagus where you need to cut them. So just line those up by the rest of your asparagus and cut and discard the woody ends.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Thanks for the tip.
You are very welcome.
Yeah, I just always chop the ends off just like
yeah. Yeah, they'll naturally snack there. Wow. And then in a small saucepan on the stove, what you're going to do is you're going to get some about 4 tablespoons of butter. We're going to buy a little thing of capers from the grocery store. Okay. We want to drain those capers off. We don't want them wet because we don't want that butter to separate on itself. And then we're going to take a whole lemon, probably a medium sized lemon. We're going to take, we're going to melt that butter down in the saucepan. We'll squeeze that lemon cut side up so the seeds stay with the lemon and they don't fall down into your butter. Mm-hmm. If the lemon's not giving you a lot of juice, you can pop it into the microwave for 10, 20 seconds. That'll make the juices kind of flow a little bit more for you so you get the most juice out of it. And then what you do is you put your capers down in there after the butter and everything started to kind of melt and foam up. Put your lemon down in there. Just stir that all together and then turn the fire off. Let it hang out.
Okay.
And then what we're going to do is we're going to take our asparagus. And I actually told you to turn the fire off. Actually, we're not going to do that. We're going to turn the fire to low. And then we're going to put our asparagus in that same sauce pot with the lemon caper butter. And we're just going to spoon that caper butter all over your asparagus until your asparagus is as tender as you would like them. Make sure your asparagus stay kind of that dark green. If you'd like your asparagus to have a little crunch, a lot of people like a mushy. If you like yours to have a little crunch, make sure they stay kind of that dark green. And then with your sweet potato, we're going to peel up your sweet potato with just a regular potato peeler. And then you're going to cut those into kind of bite-sized cubes. The smaller we cube our potato, the quicker it's going to cook for us. So cube those up as small as you would like them. For 2 people, I would say maybe 2.5, 3 sweet potatoes total. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and get a sauce pot of water up boiling. You're going to add just a little bit of salt in that. And what that's going to do is it's going to kind of take that fresh, straight from the garden taste out of the sweet potato. And that's going to make it just have a little bit more of a... it'll have a deeper flavor for you. You can just salt the water with that, add your sweet potatoes in there, boil them, depending on how fine you chop those up, for maybe 15 or so minutes till they're just kind of soft to the touch with your knife, I mean with your fork. After you've drained those, you're going to put a half stick of butter, cinnamon, brown sugar, and a little bit of vanilla extract in there. And you're going to cook those on very low, and you'll see... you'll see the butter and the brown sugar and the cinnamon and the vanilla. You'll see it start to make a nice little caramel sauce form. It'll actually look like caramel candy. And it'll stick to your sweet potatoes. And then you're ready to serve up. Take your chicken and everything out of the oven. And you are ready to eat.
Wow. That sounds like my new favorite meal, legitimately. I have a question. I know you have to do Ambi, but... Is this a recipe that you're prescribing to us, like, because you know that we're going to like how it tastes? Or is this a recipe, is this coming from spirit, or is this coming from your intuition, or what's the deal with it?
It's a little bit. Sorry. It's a little bit of both. And what my recipes do is they find you where you are. So based on what you're needing, kind of spiritually and where you are spiritually, this is kind of like your soul food. This is your comfort food to kind of give you that strength and that power to keep on persevering and pushing forward.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Love it. Thank you. Partner's going to love that too.
Oh, I cannot. Let me know how it tastes.
I will.
Because like I said, I can taste it in my head, and the asparagus is my favorite part. It's amazing.
I think we're going to have to do like a Facebook Live, like cooking with Larry. And
oh my gosh, that's a great idea.
I am so here for that.
Okay, yeah, we're going to have to figure something like that out. Okay, cool. Ambi.
So Ambi, what are our favorite meats or proteins? What do you eat?
I'm trying not to eat meat right now.
Okay.
But if you tell me that my root chakra needs it, then I'll do it.
I'm going to respect the meat. I'm already writing.
Okay. I really like black beans. I like, yogurt has a lot of protein in it. I really like veggie burgers. So the white beans, I forget what they're called, and the, hummus. I really like stuff like that.
Okay, so you're the bread person from earlier. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, so what we're going to make is we're going to make kind of a ragu.
Okay.
But we're going to do it without meat.
Okay.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to get some vegetable stock. I was going to say beef stock, but so we're going to stay away from meat. We're going to stay away from meat altogether. We're going to do an awesome vegetable stock. If you get the pouches or whatever in vegetable stock, the cartons rather of in the store, those are 2 cups. Let's get 2 of those.
Okay.
If you can't find vegetable stock, do you do seafood at all?
No.
Okay, you don't do seafood. Okay, if you can't find vegetable stock, we can always go with a beef stock or chicken stock, but you should not have a problem finding vegetable stock.
Okay.
We're gonna take our vegetable stock and we're gonna put that in a medium-sized stock pot. Mm-hmm. And what we're gonna do in there, we're gonna get some cremini mushrooms, which are just baby portobello mushrooms. And we're going to get regular sized portobello mushrooms because they're really beefy. So they kind of trick your brain that you're, hey, I'm actually eating meat.
Yeah.
So we're going to put those down in there as well. And I want you to get a couple of those veggie burgers and we're going to dice those veggie burgers, right? We're going to dice those into fine. We're going to kind of fine chop those and we're going to put those in there and those are going to be our meat.
Okay.
We're also going to add a little bit of tomato paste down in there as well. So go ahead and get a small can of tomato paste and we're going to take about half of that and we're going to put that down in there. We're also going to do some diced fire roasted tomatoes. If you can't find fire roasted tomatoes, just regular diced tomatoes in the can will be just fine. We're going to throw those down in there as well. We're going to throw a can of black beans and kidney beans down in there because we want our protein to be amped up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're going to throw that all down in there and we're going to let that boil, for just a little bit. And then what I also want to do is I want to go over to our pasta section of the store and they make an awesome pasta that's full of protein. You can either do a whole wheat pasta or whole grain pasta, or you can do a vegetable, the pastas that are made from vegetables. And I love those. Those are garden delight, variety of pasta that I really love. We're going to add those down. We're going to add that down in there as well. We're going to add
fettuccine or what kind of pasta, like bow tie, fettuccine?
I'm thinking more of a rotini.
Rotini, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it'll kind of stick to that noodle a little bit more, give you more of a depth of flavor.
Okay. Because you said the beginning. Just kidding.
Yeah. So let's do a rotini down in there. And then let's see. We also want to make sure that we add salt and pepper, of course, down into there to taste. Mm-hmm. And then you can also add a lot of people don't like to chop onion, so you can do some frozen onion down in there as well and just let that simmer. You'll taste that, see how that tastes. You can also add, for some more protein, you can add a can of chickpeas or garbanzo beans down in there.
That's what I was thinking, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do that because that's going to give you that hummus that you were thinking.
Yep.
So let's add that down there. Let's let that simmer for a second. Now, here's the part that's going to be kind of awesome. Okay. So we're going to get a piece of awesome French bread from the store.
Okay.
Okay. We're gonna take that French bread. We'll just come home. We'll take some fresh garlic, and we'll take some butter, and we'll just slather that with the bread with garlic and butter, and bake that until it's soft to the touch.
Done.
And then, see, I'm almost done. And then what we'll do is you can get some store bought hummus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take that out of the can, or take that out of the pouch that it comes in the store. We're gonna put that in a bowl. I want you to add a little bit of your favorite cheese down in there. I'm thinking kind of a sharp cheddar.
Ooh.
I want you to add a sharp cheddar down there. Nuke that in the microwave for maybe 45 seconds. Spoon your ragu out into a bowl. Put your hummus, your cheesy hummus on top of there, and have your bread with that.
That sounds amazing. Like, my kids might actually eat that. So that's really exciting to me.
Yeah, that one's going to be amazing.
My kids eat all my hummus all the time. It drives me crazy. So, wow. That's a really good idea. I really like that. I'm definitely going to make that probably Friday night.
And it's so awesome. If you want to get the kids involved with helping you make the meal, because I know a lot of kids are like, I don't like this stuff. I'm not going to eat it. If you give them a sense of ownership when they're cooking. So if you say, hey, maybe you do the mushrooms and you open these cans and you do all this and you get the hummus out and put the cheese in it and put it in the microwave, they have a sense of ownership with it. They'll eat it because they've helped make it.
I'm gonna pin that idea and see how it goes. But yeah, I like it. My 3-year-old is he's aggressive in the kitchen. He likes to throw things. So
So what you do is you give him the cans of the black beans and the kidney beans and the garbanzo beans, and you let him throw those down in that pot.
That's a good idea. I like that.
Wow.
That way my ceiling won't have food on it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't let him do the tomato paste. Don't let him do that part, though.
That is sounds so amazing. Thank you so much. I'm literally going to make that this weekend and post pictures on Inner Bloom Facebook. And all time.
I'm ready. Yes. I want to know how it tastes.
Same. I'll do the same. Ambi, we should make it like on the same night.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
You guys are too far away for me to come and drop in to see how it is.
I literally feel like something's here. There's going to be some sort of spiritual cooking element like in the next, I don't know. This is great, Larry. This is like really awesome. You are such a treat. And I'm so happy we all met and that you came on our show. This is like the best first interview ever. So thank you.
Oh, thank you guys. I thank you guys for being receptive and open and let me come and share what I have.
Ditto. And you are you just have such a nice soul and such a nice energy about you. And I'm so glad that we got to talk. And thank you so much for everything, for the prescription and the reading and for being open enough to receiving this information and giving your gift to everybody.
Yeah. Oh, thank you guys so much.
Yeah. No, if anyone is listening, you know, if you guys are listening to this, go check out paralarry.com, paralarry.com, and check out our main man, Larry, because he's really amazing. And he's going to be back. We've already booked you, Larry, so you can't get out of it now. any last words before we sign off?
Thank you guys. I look forward to talking to you guys again. And like you said, this is not the last you'll hear from Larry.
This is not the end.
Okay. Only the beginning.
Yes, only the beginning. All right, everyone, keep on blooming.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, we would love, love, love it if you would give us a rating and review on Apple iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. If you'd like to get in touch for a reading with Ambi, an EFT session with Alexa, or just to say what up, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And you can email us at innerbloompodcast@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Inner Bloom Podcast. Until next time, remember, open your heart to the seeds of love and light and bloom from within. Thank you.